smashing.
All right,
is
here
that
we
what
go.
You do while you play Super Smash?
Smashing!
I don't really play, man. I was disappointed by that game. Maybe I'll do that in the lightning round, huh?
Mercy. That's one of the signs of the apocalypse, you know. Mm-hmm. Hugh doesn't like
it. I mean, it's mostly because of Destiny, because I've sank 948 hours into that game. All right, here we go. No, we getting got.
Got.
Who got?
Gonna get got.
Everyone can get got.
get got.
2, 1. Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Nerd AF Show. My name's Hugh Johnson, alongside co-host Richard Williams.
Hello.
And Tyler Scott.
Thank God my watch has ended.
Yes, it's game over and end game for Game of Thrones.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
If you listen closely, you can hear the celebrations of the creators behind the show Dexter as they expect people to their lame party, which is, we had the worst ending to a beloved series in recent history. Now they're going to get some company, maybe, with David Benioff and D.B.
They've gotten
Weiss.
A new leader. Like, they've elected
a new
king.
They have to be celebrating, right? Because Dexter is off the hook. Game of Thrones is on the hook, right? Because, My God, was that trash. I don't know. We'll discuss it here.
Are we diving into that right now, or should we talk a little bit more?
We'll check the board real quick, and then we'll get back to Game of Thrones.
Okay. Right.
Now that Game of Thrones is over, we're going to talk a little bit about what we're streaming.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All
spoiler
the spoilers.
Alert. We didn't do that for Avengers.
Right.
One of the people.
That was your problem.
Sorry.
And one of my friends listening is just like, I had to turn it off because, you know, spoilers. Because we just jump right into it because, you know. It was so awesome. And we're going to try out something with a little new format. We're going to have a lightning round here. So be sure to check us out on social media at NerdAF Show. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and on Stitcher. All right, guys. Game of Thrones. Season 8, Episode 5, Episode 6. Let's talk about it. Two monumental episodes.
Changed everything.
The show, obviously. One's the finale. One's the penultimate episode. And someone went a little bit crazy. Let's start with that one. The Bells, guys. Daenerys Stormborn Targaryen took Drogon and torched King's Landing. As Tyrion says in Episode 6, she killed more people than any of the other cruel rulers, Cersei, Joffrey, anyone combined.
Baratheon, early Targaryens.
Yes.
Maybe not the early Targaryens.
Well, right.
New kill leader on the leaderboard.
Right. She's definitely new kill leader.
Right.
So.
100% on that. Oh,
ahead,
you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ahead.
I'll go ahead.
Do I need,
and
to,
kick
do I need
this
to bat
off,
first, guys?
No, man. No, that's
like,
okay.
I've been talking for 2 minutes,
just,
so
I
you
just,
want me
yeah,
to shut
yeah,
up
okay.
now.
All right.
No,
that's
you're
fine.
Keep
all right.
Going.
Okay. I just. Now that we have completed the entire series, which I know, Richard, the last time we talked, that was like your
completed.
Big thing.
And now
I'm really excited to hear your opinion on this because I hold my same opinion. This was rushed. It was stupid.
Yeah.
It was a whole pile of meh,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Like, at the end of the day, it was just meh. Mm-hmm. And if you're in an entertainment medium, you cannot be meh. You should either be hated or loved. It's very, like, Machiavellian Prince about it. But, like, you should either be loved by the people or hated by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is just, like, this was lukewarm. This was terrible. Yeah. And I think that they rushed it so badly for the first few episodes. There was no buildup. And with no buildup, like, to actually make you care and be invested again about these storylines, it hit the major points. And you're just like, oh, well, okay. Cool. What's next?
It's almost as if those writers copied the Danny line and just said, "Let it be fear then."
Yeah, mm-hmm. basically.
Right before she snaps in that episode.
Yeah, that wasn't a total ripoff of a book from like the early 1800s or anything like that. You know, original guys, original.
Oh my god. I don't know. Is that you?
I could go for a long time, but I feel like that's a bad idea. So,
okay.
Richard, how about you?
It is done. It is officially done, and I am the type of person that's like, just let the story play out. Let's just see what happened.
Quit teasing us, Richard. We're dying
over
here.
Come on, dude. Like, I want to hear it.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. This program has been on for 10 years, and their worst episode is better than half the shit that's on TV right now. And I will say that I think their worst episode are better than some other TV. I say some, and you say all.
You said half the shit.
You said half. So you're saying it's better than average.
It's, yeah. Because, yeah. that's my reason. Yeah.
just summarizing. But
I will say the Clegane, but I can never say that. Clegane
Bowl. Clegane Bowl.
Clegane Bowl.
Clegane Bowl.
Yeah. It served it up on the silver platter.
It was phenomenal.
And that was phenomenal. But getting back to what you said, how long has this been coming? This has been coming from day one.
Oh, yeah.
Episode one, because they hated each other, you know. And if they would have did the same thing with, like, Danny and Jon Snow, that death would have really meant something.
You're talking about Jon killing Danny? Or
yeah.
Well,
okay. I still think it meant something.
Just regardless. A quick point
it
right there.
It still does, but yeah. It was rushed.
I think that was they had these bright, shining points.
Right.
Like, Jon killing Danny was this actual emotional piece. Like, same with Drogon, like, actually coming over and nudging the body. It's like, okay, that was super sweet.
Yeah.
Cersei's death. That was actually an incredibly well-done human moment for her. And I actually, like, I felt connected to that right. piece. Mm-hmm. But what the fuck for the rest of it?
Like Bran being king?
Like, oh dude, we're not going to start listing stuff. Because if we start listing stuff, that's our entire podcast.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's going to be bad. So, hey, back to you,
off.
Richard,
get
though.
Off. I'm, go off.
Really? Okay. Go off. Let's start talking about this. All Bran right. being king. Sansa taking the North out of everything. Arya
on a whim. She took that on a whim.
And like, nobody fights her. Nobody even brings it up. She's just like, I want the North to be separate. Like, cool. You do you.
What as about the Dornish, like, bro? It's just like, our house words are unbent, unbound, unbroken. I think right. the story behind that is that's the only place the dragons weren't able to tame. Why wouldn't Dorne leave this?
Or the Ironborn.
Yeah.
The Ironborn, whose house words right. are, we do not sow. And who are like, I swore to Daenerys, and I'm not going to bend to anyone else. And then 5 seconds later, you know what? You have a point. I'll go. I've never met this kid, but I'm going to go ahead and serve him. That seems good. Like, let's talk about that, man. Let's talk about how Tyrion was able to sway an entire council of people in a 2-minute speech when stuff from the first season took 4 fucking episodes to make decisions. Ned Stark wouldn't go to King's Landing for 4 episodes. He was like, you know, guys, I don't think this is going to end well. And 4 episodes later, he finally got to King's Landing.
Right.
They elected a king in 2 seconds.
Right.
Let alone, what's the deal with Grey Worm? Like, he has Jon Snow prisoner. And then he just magically listens to these people?
Right, and he's like, I'm going to kill Tyrion. I'm going to kill Jon Snow.
I'm
like, this, like, there's so much death in you, my friend. It's like, Missandei just brought out the human in you, and as soon as she got killed, it's like this. I'm a cold killer again.
Right, that's what I thought.
At least he got a good wrap-up, though. Because they're
true.
Like, hey, he's
that's
sailing
true.
To Narth to keep his...
I like that.
To keep his promise to Missandei that he's going to liberate Narth. And it was like, that's a good wrap-up. Arya becoming Christopher Columbus and going west? What?
They said
actually,
Arya.
I like that.
I do too.
I love that.
They
ending.
Set up for
she had
spinoffs,
the coolest
but there were several different like endings that were not resolved. I think they set that up for a spinoff because she's about to go someplace that is like it's not on the maps.
Yeah, but that's the problem, man. This isn't supposed to be set up for spinoffs. It's
I know,
supposed to be
I
like
know,
it's supposed to be the
open,
story.
Man.
George R. R. Martin and, himself said this would go 11, 12, 13 seasons.
Yeah,
and the showrunners, the HBO wanted to go more. They wanted to pay him. The showrunners decided, hey, it's done now. So
but
that's their. I don't know if this because they
too.
Are also on Star Wars, correct? Like the
yeah.
new Star Wars.
Yeah,
trilogy.
They got
like,
the new
yep.
Star Wars, but
they,
it's
they
like
are...
we had this conversation on Twitter actually. Like, I think one more season.
Oh yeah,
just one more.
Why'd
season.
Why'd you take last year
two.
Off?
Well, it's just like if
and
we
that
had,
made the hype unbelievable.
If
I
we
know.
Had gone to nine seasons at that point,
right.
then we could have done an entire season just on the Night King. And the war leading
yes.
up there. Like,
I
you
could
have built
that.
Some
Night
major
King
stakes.
Was a total and complete
and
waste.
Then you could have built. Even Cersei and the destruction of King's Landing was a total waste because it was done so quickly. Like, all you saw of Cersei for almost an entire season was her blatantly just being like, now we're good. Now we're good. Except for the fact
this
that she doesn't have elephants. Like, apparently that's her only problem.
Right, right.
But, like,
that's
all of the. I know, right? all of the political undertones, all of the things of like consequences for actions and being able to, you know, outsmart and outfox and all these things came down to just, we needed to have this happen because of the story. And it just, it came out meh.
Even the story. I mean, it was so forced. I mean, the whole thing was forced, and you could tell they're just
Yes, Richard comes to the dark side about this. Yes,
I waited to the end, and I saw it. It was forced. They were like this. All right, come on now. Let's hurry it along. Right, and they were just like, it's over. And it was, I think it was lazy writing on their part. And we needed a season or two to wrap up certain things, and we didn't get that. This is what we got. I am sad by it, but especially the death of Danny.
Well, that's perfect. I like that a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Not okay. How she died, but my major point is,
I would have been okay with her dying, but I don't know how she died. I just thought that was just too quick. Just Jon Snow, like that.
Yeah, so I would have liked to have seen
like
her.
You think like
more
protracted? You thinking like it should have been more of a big epic fight sort of thing, or like
he should have had to fuck Grey Worm? Like where the fuck was her Queen's Guard? Like why did the Unsullied? Like Grey Worm knew, like he was kind of on the edge about some of the stuff they were doing, like about killing the Lannisters who had surrendered and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like I don't know. I love the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I love the direction
of
this season. Where things go.
Right.
Turning Dany into the Mad Queen. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Feels right. Even putting Bran on the throne. Right. That makes sense. If you give it time to develop.
Right.
And
yes.
That's the universal consensus with us at least that there just wasn't enough time.
Right.
I even like the fact of backtracking on Jaime's progression away from Cersei and bringing him back to that point of where he's like, okay, I was born, I came into this world with Cersei, I'm going out of this world with Cersei. I like that.
I like that too.
The previous episode was the first time Jaime and Brienne kind of culminated their love.
Right.
Sex.
So,
consummated.
This is the first time they hooked up.
Sex. You can say it. We swear like crazy on here, man. You might as well just
say it. Yeah, all right. It's the first time Jaime and Brienne. Like,
I like that better.
It's
the first time Brienne had.
From here on out, it will be known as Funky Town.
It's the first time Brienne had sex ever. It's the first time Jaime had sex with someone other than Cersei, I think.
Right.
And that happens in the very next episode. He's like, peace, I'm going back to Cersei.
Not even.
Like
It was the same episode. It was like a 10-minute span. He's just like, nah, bro, gonna go.
Right.
Like, what?
What?
What? You had this amazing redemption arc, and you just decided to boomerang with no description. Why?
I'm fine with the boomerang. It's just tell me, like, let it build.
Right.
One thing we don't give enough credit to for Daenerys's like, turnaround is just how shit Tyrion has been as an advisor.
Yeah.
Like, he started off this this whole show, especially season 2, genius, brilliance. And, like, he was the god of tits and wine. I don't know, once they took away the tits, he became, like, shitty. I don't know what happened, but all his decisions suck. From pretty much the beginning of season 7, Daenerys has the power to do exactly what she did to King's Landing.
Right.
And more, because she has 3 dragons.
Right.
They continually push her off. And honestly, had she gone and sacked King's Landing to begin with, it probably wouldn't have been that bad, because she'd still had Jorah. Probably two of her dragons, Missandei, she'd still have been in the right mind to know when to stop.
Right.
And it's just, that is something I think that it gets downplayed in the whole her turning. And they needed to play that up more, I think. Like, just the fact that that he's just been a failure as a hand to her.
I want to add to that. I think they did it in the wrong order. I think she should have, and when you just said what you said, I'm like, oh my God, that makes perfect sense. When she got there, she should have went after Cersei. That should have been her first thing.
Right.
And I think the last thing should have been the death of the Night King.
I'm actually going to go against that. I know I said that last episode.
Having Danny go last. After you turn me around.
After I turn you around.
Boomerang.
Boomerang, mate.
Danny being the ultimate bad guy is amazing. Like, Cersei was okay. Like, he should have gone on after Cersei. But if you were always going to make Danny the bad guy, which is, seems like that was going to be the case, like...
She could have still been a bad guy, though.
But I think Tyrion's is, I guess that is an interesting point, but I think Tyrion gave her the right advice every time.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I think he gave
her. He attacks Casterly Rock, mm-hmm. wins it, Euron destroys their fleet, and then they go out and knock out one of their allies.
They baited him into doing that, though. Yeah. So that was
That's still bad advice. That's still
No. That's coming knowing what the outcome is.
Right. Okay,
that's saying okay, we can look back on it and say that. Exactly. But from his point of view, he's like, okay, how do we accomplish this the right way? And the right way was take Lannisport, take as many places as you can with as least bloodshed, and then sue for peace. But that shit just didn't work at all. And Dany didn't. It was so caught up in her own bullshit of like, I am the chosen one. I am the only. She said, I know what's right. And John asks her, well, what if someone else thinks something else is right? And she's like, they don't get to decide.
She was complete bullshit at that point.
Yeah. She was complete batshit at that point, but she believed it way earlier.
But also,
that was the start of the downfall.
Tyrion made mistakes by trusting Cersei at times. Like, especially when they, when she said she'd march her people north, right? Because he's like, oh, you're pregnant. And like, I get the familial ties, but like Tyrion also did make mistakes in who he chose to trust at that point. And even like Sansa, which she's pretty smart. I shouldn't say even like Sansa, but Sansa could tell like, you're an idiot. She's like, she's not going to send her troops up north.
Maybe I'm biased because Tyrion
awesome.
Stands out as probably my favorite character from the entire series.
He's one of my favorite too. And I love the Lannister.
So I'm going to keep. I will defend him on this one, but I think that's the writers just shoehorning in the idea that something's got to go. Things have to go enough badly for Daenerys to go. Bonkers.
Fair enough.
Because Tyrion was the god of tits and wine and was smart and outplayed multiple people for a long time.
And now he went like 0 for.
Yeah, he batted zero for an entire season.
Yeah.
Which is
maybe two.
Okay, well, yeah. Let's give him two on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Richard's just like keeping score over there. He said, like, yep,
mm-hmm. I'm like, now that the story finished, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it was the writers being like, how do we make it so that Danny goes crazy? Oh, let's make it so Tyrion doesn't know Jack.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
I'm on the fence with that one. It's like this. I believe you, and it's like he did give good advice, but let's just look at when she went crazy. Her whole support system
was gone.
Mm-hmm. And if we look at the other episodes, a lot of them stopped her from like burning everybody almost. It's like, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should do this. It's better to be loved than feared.
Right.
And the other thing I want to say is she was built up to believe she was going to be the savior.
Yeah, she came out with three creatures that had been seen.
It's like this,
thousands of years.
She thought everybody over there was going to love her. And then when she saw how they treated Jon Snow over her, it crushed her. And then when he turned her away, it crushed her. And when her support system left her, that's when she went crazy.
They did a good job with all that.
That like, was, yeah.
Losing Jorah, losing Missandei, noticing that Jon is getting the credit. Like, Tormund is bragging about Jon riding the dragon. Mm-hmm. It's Dany's fucking dragon, you know?
Yeah, and it's Tormund fucking Giantsbane. Like, right, between the two.
Right, exactly. No,
him and Jon are boys. Just,
is the big woman still here?
Yeah, like, oh my God.
You know what? We talk about Brienne. They did Brienne dirty.
Oh, right?
Come on. She's just... Tormund. All over Jamie, like one of the strongest women. Come on.
I was not happy about that shit. When she started crying, like when Jamie left.
Yeah.
I don't think.
She cried writing his little story. I'm like, okay, I get it. You filled his story, but.
I would have left it at that. If she was going to cry, then cry then. Don't cry when he's leaving.
Yeah.
She could cry in private.
But, and again, it just comes back to, God, it was just so rushed. Like, Jorah dying, Missandei dying. Like, you don't even see Missandei get captured. Like, you don't see her. You don't see her for like half the episode. And then all of a sudden she's just sitting there. She's just sitting there with the mountain about to kill her, and you're like, the fuck? Where did this happen?
Right.
Did I miss something? Oh wait, no. There were the magic plot arrows, and one of them must have captured Missandei at the same time.
Right. We'll see you in Fast and the Furious. Yeah, we didn't. We'll see you in the Fast and the Furious.
Oh yeah, she's in Hobbs and Shaw or what?
You ain't dead there.
Thank goodness.
For now. Right. Idris Elba kills your ass. Oh, Black Superman.
Shit. What is dead may never die.
True.
Missandei does not die.
Right. Talking about, here's one thing I'd like to see. At least show John's arrest instead of just like doing this ridiculous time skip. Like, oh Drogon flying away. I'm like, okay, I get that animals always kind of have a sixth sense and kind of know what's right, what's wrong. And especially for an intelligent creature like a dragon, right. It must be exponentially more. I would have liked to see, brought this up to one of my clanmates on Xbox last night. I would have liked to see Drogon try and burn John out of sheer anger, like just get mad. And then you see him come out unburnt. It would have been awkward because he was naked afterward.
Right.
But I felt like they were kind of teasing that with the whole Targaryen thing, maybe. And it's a Chekhov's gun that never went off. Like, for me, at least. I don't know how y'all feel.
I think the fact that he didn't burn him was because he had that blood in him.
Right.
That he could ride the dragon.
Maybe he could just smell it. I don't know.
And that's why he burned the throne.
I'm glad he burned the throne.
That was good. That was great imagery. Great part.
It just shows how mentally connected he was to Danny, and that when your kid knows that your parent is wrong, and he's just like, or he or she is just like, I don't think I would have did it that way. I think that's what he's like, why can't we just be where we were at and just like, you know, fly around there? Why did you have to go after all of this? And that's why he like nudged her, and he's like, all right, she gone. You know, so, but I loved him burning the throne. I loved it.
Which again comes back though to like just the mismatch in the tone, because it's like, okay, so we burned down the throne. Great imagery. Great. Like, hey, throwing off the shackles of the old wheel. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, we get to the next scene and they're sitting there going, well, instead of establishing a democracy or anything.
Democracy.
That was amazing. Okay. I love Sam almost as much as I love Tyrion. Yeah. But.
Like, I like Sam too.
But them laughing him out of the building.
Well, dude, like
he
that,
just said, I'm like
that, and then freaking what's his name, Edmure Tully, standing up, and he's like, "I've done blah blah blah." I love Sansa, if for no other reason than going, "Uncle, sit down." It was just like, "Yes, thank you."
That made me laugh. He's right? Just like,
But they go through all this, and then they're just
Robin
like, you know,
Aaron? Like
it
the
was
dude?
Robin Aaron.
Oh my God.
The little kid that the old all guy that looks at milk. And he's like, you better say A.
All that right? Breast milk paid off, huh? Like, right? Oh my God.
You turned out. I know. He's like tall and stuff. I'm like, who is. Oh, goodness.
They burned the throne. They melted the throne. And then they're just like, yeah, but we're still going to do a king. And it's like.
A king that doesn't have kids. And it's a different type of wheel. Like, I don't know, maybe instead of a. I'm not going to compare wheel types here.
But it went dictatorship to oligarchy, basically. Because now you've got a bunch of lords that are going to vote for whoever they want. And it's like, you know, this is going to just come back up, guys.
Right.
Like, you maybe get enough out of Bran to like avoid a war. Right. But you already lost one kingdom. Right. And so someone in probably the very near future is going to be like, you know, that north area looks pretty good.
Right.
I wonder if I could retake that.
Yeah
it's going to happen. You know it. Goodness. But. But at the end of the day, it was just so forgettable. And you can't be forgettable.
Especially where Game of Thrones is at. Like, I don't know. I think had they not rushed it, you're probably looking at a television series that's easily in the category of, you know, one of the greatest television series of all time.
Well, interesting.
Now I'm just like, well.
I think it still is. I mean, it entertained us for like 10 years. And how many TV shows have failed us? Like, come on, Lost.
I remember I mentioned Dexter Lost. Yep.
Well, so,
oh my God.
out of curiosity, because I did some quick mental math yesterday, and I think that Game of Thrones comes in with more runtime than the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. At this point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I did some...
And the shows, probably, too.
I don't know about the shows. I didn't factor the shows. I just went pure movies on
probably
it.
Probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Maybe. I'm not 100% on that. I'm pretty sure.
22 times what?
Well, I figured 22 times 3 is right, still 66. With Game of Thrones, it's about an hour apiece for 73 episodes.
Right.
So you're at 73. So you still had more runtime. And yet the MCU delivered an amazing 10-year story arc that culminated in an amazing way with Endgame.
But they're movies versus television.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm driving to is, what do you think the difference is between what makes the movie genre work for that versus Game of Thrones, which just kind of fell flat in
crunch
that?
Crunch time. Yeah. It's a movie. A TV series, you can expand it out. It's crunch time. It's like they have to get writers to go like this and go, boom, we've got this much time. We got to tell this much of a story. Endgame pushed it. It really pushed it by doing 3 hours. They pushed it, and they had so much story to wrap up. It had to be pushed to three.
And they
hours.
Knew from the beginning, like, how massive they wanted to make this.
Exactly.
So you think
Game of Thrones started out, had a few well-known celebrities, actors in the show. I'm talking about Momoa. The big three, Momoa, Sean Bean, and maybe even Mark Addy in the first season. They have them all die off, and now the core cast comes in. I don't think anyone knew Game of Thrones was going to become what it did.
Right, exactly.
So you think it was more the uncertainty behind it? Yeah. Okay, so you're saying that the movies had a flight path. They knew how much time they had to tell their story.
Right.
Versus Game of Thrones, which was kind of like season to season. Is this the last one?
Here's an adaptation.
Is this the last one? No.
Books.
I don't know if it was necessarily like, is this the last one? But here's an adaptation. We're throwing this off. Like, oh my God, this is this now. You know, and it's just like, for the writers, why they may not want to stick around with it. It's just like, it wasn't necessarily what they signed up for to be the next great pop culture icon. I don't know if like, I don't know.
But
that's
after
tough to say.
The books, though, it's like this. They know. I think Martin gave them pieces, like little bread, like pigeons. It's like, go work with that, you know. But after the books, they were just like this. I guess we're gonna do.
Oh, I agree. Like, I think the quality, like, the show started its landing procedure as soon as they ran out of books, which is really sucky to say. But I don't know. I just thought Martin ends. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting to look at the two franchises and be like, okay, Game of Thrones had more runtime. It had a huge budget to be able to pull all this off, and it didn't. What makes it different from the MCU? So, but dear listeners, chime in. Let us know why you think it worked differently than the MCU, because we all have strong opinions. I'm sure you do too.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, let's get on.
All right.
All right. Got no reverberation there. Thank you.
Dude, that just did not want to ring. Right. Should it's we like, keep talking about it? Is that like a
I am
sign?
Inevitable.
Right.
All right, so now that Game of Thrones is gone, guys, what are we watching on TV? I'm not a big TV guy, to be honest. I'm more of a gamer. I probably have told you guys that at some point. But, So,
said nobody.
There are a few, the shows I'm watching are few and far between. Probably thinking Jessica Jones is season 3 is my next binge session.
Yes.
Right? Before it gets, is it canceled now or is it, can you still watch it? I don't know. This, after this, yeah.
After this, it's gone. Because they already filmed it all.
Exactly.
So,
I'm going to finish up Doom Patrol on DC Universe. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. Lord, everything I'm watching. All my shows just kind of ended. Arrow, Flash, Supergirl last night just ended.
Like ended or ended for
a
season?
Oh, just for the season. Okay. And it's coming back because they're going to have Crisis, like the huge fight on the Infinite Earths, and they ended, almost ruined it for people. But anyway.
We did say spoilers, man. So.
Right. Well, there's a thread on each show because of the upcoming, you know, they do the huge crossover. There is a thread ending each show with a certain person who shows up at the end of each show.
Like a Nick Fury type.
But not in a good way.
Oh, bad way? Bad Fury.
Yeah.
Well, it is DC, so of course it's...
There you go.
Oopsie.
Just the jabs.
Swamp Thing.
Can I just say something real quick?
I smell something burning.
Right. That's your booty.
They had Aquaman. They had Shazam. Like, how much does this suck? Right. We're getting momentum. Endgame.
Right. Right.
It's kind of like that.
It's both. It's like, shut up.
Well, it's that moment in Infinity War when Thanos throws a moon.
Yeah.
Like, that was Marvel just being like, we got Endgame coming, right. Bitches.
Yo, come on. You got to love it when Tony Stark is like, if you throw another moon at me, we're going to have issues. Right. I'm going to be in a really bad mood. But Swamp Thing is the one I'm looking forward to. I'm really excited about Swamp Thing. I'm really looking forward to them finishing Young Justice, because my God, what they did with Young Justice was just amazing. The animated show. Is Rick and Morty coming back on soon?
Yeah, Rick and Morty season 4.
I can't wait.
It's coming soon.
I can't wait. That's like one of my favorite shows. let's see what else. I think the new Penny Dreadful might be coming on, and it's going to be a couple of years later, and they're bringing back Frankenstein's Monster. And the new one, it's going to be like a lot of years later. So it's going to be very good. I'm trying to think what else. I almost say American Gods, but that just finished up. That's been playing on Stars.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't watch it. Star Trek Discovery, I really love season 2. I don't know if you two watched it. It was really good to me. So
Krypton?
I'm really excited about Krypton because Hawkman going to be on it. That's what I heard. That's a rumor, probably. But I'm really excited. Really, really excited. Because I want to see the Thanagarians really bad. I love people with wings.
The Targaryens?
Thanagarians.
Thanos and Targaryen. Right. Right. They're purple dragons.
Thanos.
Oh, my goodness.
What else is coming out, man?
Dude, this is so your arena. Like,
well, Supernatural kind of ended. I mean, next year is its last season. Next year is Arrow's last season. Flash is going to continue. Legends of Tomorrow. They're becoming too much of a comedy parody, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I saw like one character who used to be on Arrow, and she was like this badass. She went on Legends, badass. Funny badass, just silly, went back on Arrow, badass, and I'm like, when Legends ends, please put, Arrow's about to end, so never mind.
You guys excited for the new Watchmen?
I am.
HBO has been like showing all these previews, like, please don't leave us after Game of Thrones goes.
Well, still leaving, but right. It looks still good. Leaving. Yeah, still leaving, but
do you do it through Amazon?
I do it through HBO. Like, I have the HBO. Wow. Okay. I signed up specifically because of this, and my wife and I made a list of the movies that they have on there currently. That like, we're gonna binge all of this, yes. And then we're done. We're canceling it. We're done. And at the same time, like, Watchmen looks good. Chernobyl looks really good. That looks disturbing, really, really good. But so good at the same time.
I love like history movies like that. Anyway,
as long as we don't have to see any more of Dr. Manhattan's Blue Dong, I don't care.
That's an integral part of the story, Hugh. It's story dong, okay?
I saw authentic.
That. Uh-huh. Look, imagine, I'm like, it's just like a 17-year-old impressionable Hubert going into an IMAX, you know.
An IMAX of Blue Dong.
Front row. Bam! Oh my God, this giant blue dong in my face.
Look, man, we talked about the plot arrows from Game of Thrones. This was plot dong, okay? Right? It was plot dong. Holy, you need
plot dong.
Holy shit.
Oh my God. So can we talk about Doom Patrol? We've been wanting to talk about this a long time. DC Universe. It's a pretty good show, man. What are your thoughts, Richard, on it? I love how anti-hero it is.
It really is.
Normally superpowers are like just such a great advantage. You know, Spider-Man, think of Peter Parker, he says it.
And they come with great responsibility.
But still, you're a badass though. I mean, you can web sling, you can fly, you can do whatever. Right. For these guys, like, they go through like the psychological trauma of being a superhero and what that entails, and like all of them have some sort of, even Cyborg, who's kind of like, for me, kind of like your Hook.
Yeah.
That's the one we know. He's supposed to be badass. He says booyah all the time, but he has a lot of psychological torment going on there as well. I'm really enjoying it. I'm not caught up. But
I was about that's what I was about to ask, because
you could spoil like past, we spoiled no. Professor Pat on Jessica Jones
and God of War and God of War Hugh.
God of War 2, no, Thor. No, I just started playing that, you know?
Yeah.
I bought it last in November. Go, Richard, go.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Producer Andy.
Andy's like, you're getting off track.
No, that goes. No, it's back to you now. It was just he was digging the side.
I would just say this. It just ended, and it was really...
Like, ended it?
It ended?
Or
like...
No, just the season.
Okay.
The season's ended.
No, I thought it was penultimate patrol. It means there's one more left, right?
I thought it... Okay, I gotta go look again. Okay. I thought this was it. I guess they have one more, right?
I think so, because it's called Penultimate Patrol.
Okay, I thought this was it, because it was a pretty final thing.
Oh, okay.
Because a secret came out at the end. I'm not gonna ruin it for you, but it's gonna change everything. It's gonna change everything about that group dynamic.
So
anyway,
and the screen fades to black.
Right,
wonderful show.
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it too. Go check it out on DC Universe if you haven't.
Swamp Thing next.
Swamp Thing, yes.
It's gonna be horror.
Richard is remarkably excited for those who can't see, since this is an audio medium.
James Bond is like one of the people who's like the producer on it. Who did?
James Bond is in Swamp Thing.
That's what I heard too.
James Wan. I'm sorry, James Wan, who did like the
James Wan.
Wan who
instead
did 007.
It's just Wan.
Right, Wan. It's just Wan. Wan in a million, right?
Oh, my God.
Wan in a million.
Wan is the loneliest number.
Right.
We're gonna try something new. It's called our lightning round. Right, we're going to get a catchy title for that later. Right. Maybe you should call it our flash round.
Right.
I don't know. But
reverse flash.
We're going to try and keep the answers short and tight and just... Really go rapid fire on some of these topics we wanted to get to, but felt they weren't as important as streaming or the end of Game of Thrones.
Right.
Let's start it off. I guess I will go. Tyler, your take on Sonic the Hedgehog and the fact that they're now backtracking on some of the CGI after it came out. It's a horrendous trailer. He doesn't even have green eyes. He has human teeth. The only thing good about it is Dr. Robotnik, played by Jim Carrey. Go ahead.
Okay. Jim Carrey is going to carry this entire movie, hence the name. And also the fact that they actually listened to this and said, hey, we're going to go fix this is one of the few things that I have hope for in this movie. Because, he looked like something out of a bad Resident Evil movie with the freaking human-looking features and face. And the fact someone described it as he looks like a 12-year-old in a furry suit. And that was the best description you could ask for.
That actually is funny.
All right.
Very true.
All right. Go for it, Hugh.
Oh, I'm posing another question again? Okay.
Yeah.
Richard, man, Titans versus Doom Patrol, which one do you like? Both DC Universe content. Which one do you like better at this point?
If I have to pick, it's going to be Doom Patrol. But I'm excited about Titans Season 2 because they're going to have Crypto and they're going to have Superboy. And they're going to have a little bit more Wonder Girl in it. So, Troy or Diana, however you want to say it. So, Troya. So, I'm excited about seeing the new characters on it. I'm excited to see how the bad guys, Raven's father, Trigon, what he's going to do, what Robin is going to do because he's under the influence and what have you. So, anyway, that's my take on it right now.
Hugh. Sources have said that Division 2's first raid launched with a great skill gap between PC and console gamers.
Shit. Here we go.
Sorry, man. I couldn't
resist. Was that built in? They built in a skill gap?
Here we go.
No, so the first raid for Division 2 launched.
Yeah.
PC gamers.
Glad's been playing it.
PC gamers cleared it within the first couple of hours. Console gamers said that it was unbeatable. It took at least 3 to 4 days before console gamers could actually clear it.
I mean, that's how it is, though, right? I mean, for a lot of the Destiny raids, the same thing happens. Not in terms of that great of a difference.
Right.
But PC is much faster. The load times are faster. When you're getting that level of just a difference, I have to think on some level the developers built it to make it towards like a PC audience kind of in mind. Like you have to do certain things so quickly that some of the mechanics just don't really work on console because, you know, the sensitivity or whatever is a lot higher on PC than it is on a console. So that would be my take on it. I haven't like read up on that. That's an interesting tidbit though. But my take would be that they probably developed it trying to give a challenge. Probably just gave PC the advantage, but 8-man raids, you know, I like that idea. It's only 6 in Destiny, so who knows?
Did I get a rebuttal on that or no?
Yeah. Okay.
I think this is a bad sign for the Division as well as for video games in general that video games could be developed in this sort of fashion, because that could mean that we have a lot more skill problems or like mismatched in development. And so the Division, I know I caught you completely off guard with this one, Hugh, but I think that this could lead to bad things further down the line. And unfortunately, looking at the divide between the PC gamers who are just saying, get good, sucker, and the console gamers who are like, this is impossible to do on an analog stick, that makes me a little nervous for where the Division is going to continue to go.
That's oddly appropriate.
Man, I can't do that. I cannot do that. Oddly appropriate. I cannot do that. No, I want to rebuttal Andy.
Damn it. Uh-oh.
And we got our next fight for the next time.
All right, real quick. You gave me like 12 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I can't even care about it.
Now you're down to 5.
I can't.
4.
It's almost over. And 2.
And done.
Oh, my God.
On the spot.
KO in the second round, baby. KO in the second round.
Right. I choked.
It's so good. It's so good.
Sound a bit like that goat recording from last time, Hugh.
RIP the goat, Tony Stark.
Oh, man.
All right, let's get on to plugs, man. I'm still flustered from that lightning round. That is amazing. That's a great concept.
We need to keep doing that. I vote for this to continue to happen.
That was fun. That's on producer Andy. Great, great content right there. If you let us know what you think about it, hit us up at Nerd AF Show, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm going to go ahead and start our round of plugs here. And I'm going to go with... my actual rebuttal to you because I've had some
really?
Time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'm definitely cheating. I'm definitely cheating.
Oh, where's the flag, ref? Where's the flag?
Yeah, throw it. But this reminds me of.
Yeah, that's right. See?
This reminds me of what Bungie tried to do recently in Destiny in terms of. You're aware of the Black Hammer sniper rifle from Destiny 1.
Favorite gun.
Yeah, favorite gun. Essentially. It keeps filling up your magazine as you're hitting crits. Like it pulls ammo from nowhere.
And when you're fighting a boss with a giant head, you just sit there and you're like, this is the easiest thing of all time.
Yeah. They nerfed it in Destiny 1 to pull from your reserves, right? Mm-hmm. They literally just did the same thing with Destiny 2 with the Whisper of the Worm. Like about a year ago, I came out and then said, hey, this is an awesome gun. They literally just decided that we were designing encounters to accommodate for this resource that you guys had. We didn't want it. It kind of nerfs like sniper rifles as a whole, so we're giving it this nerf. Why would you do that if you already went through that same experience in Destiny 1? I cannot fathom it for the life of me. But go play Destiny regardless. That's going to be my plug. I'm just going to turn it around there.
All right.
You can find me at Twitter, at HughJohnson707. Richard Williams, go ahead, man.
All right, you can find me on Instagram at Storm78704. Look me up, leave a comment, and I will absolutely get back to you. And you can find me at Storm78704 on Twitter, and I am on Facebook.
You on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a good picture of you in a black lightning suit on Instagram.
I am not on Instagram anymore. And I do cosplay from time to time. Do not judge me.
Producer Andy, can we find this and get it onto our Facebook by any chance?
We already have it in the Nerd AF Show archives.
I'm pretty sure
we cannot.
What is dead may never die, and you know it ain't dead,
man. Stop it. It's like this. So, I'm about to plug.
An actual plug?
Right. I'm doing an actual plug. Look up, when you get a chance, if you go to a comic book store, I went to Tribe Comic Books in Austin, Texas. My stomping ground, my old stomping ground, and of course, the, yes,
that's
sir.
Me stomping.
Right. And,
sorry, neighbors below.
Absolutely loved it. And one of the guys behind the counter who owns it always throws the best horror comic books at me. And Witch with a Y. It's amazing artwork. A little bit of the story that I just read. Anyway.
We're trying to spell out Witch.
You said Witch
with a Y.
No, I'm
like,
Y-I-T-C-H or W-Y-T-C-H.
Just keep in mind that there's something that disconnected in my head because okay. I thought you I went to H and so I was like W-H-I-C-H witch like right. which like right. There's which are we talking about sort
like,
of thing?
My like bad. The witch
yeah don't pay attention to me I don't right. know letters apparently thank
okay.
you
okay all right anyway I love it go check it out and I can't wait for Swamp Thing to come on TV there
Swamp Thing Tyler, rebuttal.
Tyler Scott, you can. Oh yes, we need to get this picture up on. Yes.
Oh yeah, that one. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, look for pictures incoming on Facebook quickly, courtesy of producer Andy. So my name is Tyler Scott. You can find me on Twitter at wild. That's WYLD _ wanderer. Yeah, as Richard said, we don't have enough time to cover everything that we'd love to cover in this one podcast. So hit us up on Twitter, start a conversation. We love to debate and talk about this stuff.
Facebook
too. Or Facebook too. Definitely, you know, hit us up and let us know what you're thinking about as well. And so I will throw a shout out to my buddy Josh DeShane because we were talking about with Game of Thrones ending, with Endgame happening. He recommended, for those of you who are still looking for that swords and sorcery sort of fix, the Wheel of Time series.
Okay.
14 books. Long stuff.
Nice.
But he said it is fantastically well written. And it definitely satisfies that urge. So if you're a bookworm like me and you like to read that sort of thing and you're looking for something to fill the void now that Game of Thrones is closed down, go start reading those. 14 books will keep you in content for a very long time. So that's me.
That is it. That'll be a wrap. And Wheel of Time is by the great author Robert Jordan.
Just except for the last, I think, three books where...
Yeah, he passed away and his son finished them.
Right? No, Brian Sanderson, who's known for... Okay. His own actual swords and sorcery writing. So again, 14 books. Go check them out if you need something to fill that void.
Sounds good. Check us out on Twitter, Nerd AF Show, on Facebook, Nerd AF Show, Instagram, Nerd AF Show. We out.
The Nerd AF Show is a production of F420 and is produced and directed by Andy Caldwell.